listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Everyone relax. This is Tofop. I'm Toby Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello and thank you for watching.
You're going to think I'm making this up, Will.
Okay.
That every time I fly, something weird happens.
No, I don't think you're making that up. Weird things happen at airports. Airports are weird places.
That's why we make so many TV shows about them. Border security. Border security too.
Border security even more secure.
I guess
no,
you're
but
right.
I think it's a heightened environment,
Melting pot of
But everybody in the same place. There is an element of danger and excitement and travel and stress and procedure and security and all these sort of artificial elements that are all thrown together. So,
and you've been doing a bit of traveling lately with your tour. Does it sort of annoy you that like there isn't a uniform security protocol for each fucking airport?
You know what I love is that
laptops in, laptops out.
It's less than it ever, like, I mean, it's more diverse than it ever was. Not just are we more culturally diverse, but the security method at an airport is now, like, within the same airport line, they will be operating different security procedures. Some are laptop in, laptop out, jacket on, jacket off. Like, sorry, don't jacket off. That's, I don't think that's
definitely not
beginning
on the plane.
The guy said, like, yeah, it's gone off. And if you could just jack this off, we'll let you through. Yeah. So there's the weird, the one you go into where you don't have to,
leave everything in your bag.
And then you have to go into, this seems to always coincide with the big machine where you have to go in and do that dance, the Michael Jackson dance move.
No, it's the
Thriller.
It's the Ricky Gervais crab dance.
That's right. So, and it's always to me, particularly as someone who has osteoarthritis in my hips, very ableist. Like how far they think you can have your like feet apart. They're quite far apart. I'm like, I don't have the groins to stretch my feet this far apart. And then you have to, so this tends to be you, but then sometimes even
why
within
not that too,
like up, like,
why aren't your arms up? Your arms are down in that crab, that crab move.
Like, why do you think?
Yeah. What do you like? What's the access or what can you hide more?
Maybe this one's just like the hands up is more like, you know, like you're being arrested or like it has other connotations.
It's less confrontational or less intimidating.
Like step into this machine and put your hands up has like an authoritarian.
You're more exposed.
Exactly.
That way, yeah.
Yeah.
When you put your arms like that, you're just having a dance move. It's fun.
I mean, it is such a weird artificial way to do it. But the fact is, what you're saying is it's the confusion, that there is no one way that we're doing it. And I would be fine with that if there was a little more consideration about the fact that it's different everywhere now.
Mm.
So in the old days when it was a uniform system and some people didn't know how to use the system, if the old days was laptops are out of the bags and we all knew that laptops are out of the bags, if there was someone in the line who did not take their laptop out of the bag, I think you were within your rights to grumble a little bit about these people who go to the airport and don't need to take their laptop out of the
bag. It's the equivalent of the person who waits in line to order food and waits till they get to the front line before they,
and
get,
goes,
they read
oh,
the
so
menu.
So you've got Big Macs? like, you know, you can have a look beforehand and decide, right?
Yeah.
So I agree with you in that case. But now these days, all bets are off. Post-pandemic, we've come back and there's 9 different ways to go through security, often within the same, often you can go through the same little like queue to get in and then just because of where you, and my favorite one is when they put the laptop in your bag through, you're lining up for the big, like, Ricky Gervais crab dance one and the line's too big. So they just send you through the old school regular one. I'm like, what is this system?
It's, and also too, like, it's not as bad as the States, but there is a lack of patience with some of the security staff about you not, you're just trying to, like,
But that's what I mean.
Tablet
it's like
in
they're
or
like,
out. Is yeah, a tablet coming out?
We don't
out of
know
laptop?
Anymore.
We don't know. And they get shitty with you. And it's
yes.
like, you understand, like, I've been
it's
through like three
in.
Airports.
I was
this
like, hang on, but over there it's laptop out.
I know. Like, just be a bit more sympathetic. It's yes. difficult for us as travelers to understand.
I understand that they're on the front line, but don't get mad at us for not understanding something that has not been explained to us.
They get shitty with you if and, you don't immediately understand it.
And I'm an experienced traveler.
Yeah.
What is it like for amateurs wandering into the airport for the first time?
Or a pensioner or someone who's like not even like, you know, they've got a Kindle from their nephew for their for yeah. Christmas or something. They don't understand what that is. And the one thing that, because I often will take like a microphone or like, you know, like the digital recorder or something in case we're going to do a pod or whatever. And that every time, like even like I'll like if I leave it in my bag, even if it's an airport where it's like leave it in the bag, I know I'm going to have to wait for 5 minutes while they like question me and go through my bag. And every time I'm like, it's a microphone and a digital recorder. And then a guy got angry at me because he was opening my bag up and I've got this, it's a hard to find compartment. And I said, it's in that, and if you touch that zip, and he almost like swatted
oh,
my
hand away. Oh yeah, you're not allowed to touch
away.
It because you'll do a magic trick.
I know.
You'll do a magic trick.
I'm David Copperfield. Like, yeah.
The bag's disappeared. There was no bag. What are you talking about?
It's a microphone. Yeah. But it's like, surely they have bands on tour and stuff traveling through all the time. What's going on there?
I mean, everyone's got a podcast.
Everyone.
So surely just podcasters alone would be enough.
So on one of these trips.
Yes.
I was flying out of the Gold Coast, very warm weather. And so I arrived and I would say, so I wasn't underdressed, but I was casually dressed. I had shorts, T-shirt, cap, sneakers, right? Like, not like I'm going from the gym, but like I was doing the lighthouse walk.
Yes.
Like that was my outfit because it was very warm in Queensland. And but I wouldn't say I was underdressed, but I was definitely active wear dressed. Anyway, I go into the lounge and have a little something to eat, and then they call the flight. And as I'm going through the foyer, out past the reception desk, out into the airport, I pass this woman who's very like well dressed, and she's wearing like, you know, designer. You know, she's got this black and white stripy silk shirt and black pants and gold earrings, and her makeup's perfect and her hair's perfect. Middle aged lady. And as I walk past her, she turns to reception and goes, I think we need to bring back a dress code for the lounge. And I was so...
I think we need some lessons in minding your own fucking business.
I turned around to her and I said, well, at least I'm not dressed like Beetlejuice. And then like kept walking.
God, are you really?
Yeah. I was so fucking pissed
off.
You
used the B word.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice. Yeah. You're Beetlejuice though. I've said it three times.
I should have said it three
now,
times. So. I was so pissed off. I was like, fuck yeah. her. And well. So... I go wait up in the line, and what I didn't sort of anticipate was that
she was also kept in the same line as
you
were.
And because we're both lounge members, she'll be in the same line as me. So I'm waiting in the line, and Beetlejuice approaches, and she says, excuse me, and I'm like ready for a fight.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah? And she's like, I wasn't referring to you. There was a lady in the lounge who was wearing a sports bra and leggings. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean... Like, part of me is like, you still shouldn't be commenting on what people are wearing.
Yes.
But I did call you Beetlejuice.
Yeah. And that was you lashed out when it wasn't even directed at you.
And now we're in the line. And so now we have to make small talk.
Does
and
she
so,
know Beetlejuice, do you think, as a reference? Like, is
I mean,
it something that culturally...
Everyone.
I mean, it's a big reference, isn't it, Beetlejuice, I suppose.
I mean, even if you didn't get it, it doesn't sound good.
No.
There's a bug.
Down to Beetlejuice. Could you grab me a?
Yeah, it sounds gross. Yeah. It sounds demeaning. So then I'm
mate,
like,
the left want you to eat Beetlejuice. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Yeah, that's what the left
want. They
want
to get no more beef.
Exactly.
They want to stop us eating
just
mate.
Beetlejuice.
Just Beetles
all day long, juicing Beetles.
Wheat crush shots and
Beetlejuice.
So then I have this awkward situation of. She's basically. Well, she didn't apologize. Well she didn't need to apologize.
No.
But.
But she's kind of tried to broker some sort of peace deal.
Yeah, well, she, you know what? Like, it would have been much worse if she'd said nothing. If she'd just come up and stood next to me, then I would have been like, oh, God, this is all good. But then I'm like, well, I have to defuse this. And so I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, I just assumed you were talking about what I'm wearing. And then she was like, well, you could afford to dress up a bit more as a joke.
Yeah, all right, Beetlejuice.
And then it was okay, but I was like... Then I was trying to like justify it in my head. It was like, was I defending that girl who was in her activewear in the lounge? Like, was me lashing out at Beetlejuice? Was I like Robin Hood?
Well, you weren't though.
No.
Because you thought she was talking about you.
Yeah, I wasn't defending that.
So it wasn't like, no, but it wasn't like Robin Hood accidentally stole the money and then gave it to people.
No, but if we had to divide the lounge into sort of like groups.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm aligned with exercise girl.
You're dressed in the same uniform as exercise girl, but you didn't meet exercise girl. You might have.
I didn't even. I wasn't.
You might
aware
have had an issue
there.
With her as well. She might have worse.
I doubt it. I don't think that. I mean, the part of the world I live in now, like you know, everyone, no one dresses up. Like it's all just like singlets and shorts and thongs.
And
like,
how do we feel about that? Are we good with this? Is this?
I'm
like,
good with it.
I mean, I am obviously. I've never dressed up in my life.
Yeah, no, I love it. I it took me a little while to get my head around barefoot in the supermarket and barefoot in cafes. Because I find that a bit gross for some reason.
I like to do
it. I don't mind shirtless, but barefoot grosses me. I think it's, I don't know, there's something about people walking barefoot through a supermarket.
I like to do my investing barefoot. That's my.
But it makes sense. I do remember when, like before I moved to the Northern Rivers, one of my mates who lived up there, every time I saw him, he was always like, he's either in the same clothes or variations of singlet shorts.
Variations
combo.
On the theme.
And then when I moved there, I realized why.
It's because it's hot.
It's fucking hot all the time. And if you wear anything good, you ruin it.
Yeah.
If you're a big sweater like I am, you're going to sweat through.
That's your rap name too, isn't it?
Big sweater. Big sweater, yeah. Dropping beeps, dropping beads of sweat. But what I came to realize is that I should shut up. Like, there was no need for me to react in that situation. Like, why did I get offended? Like, even if she was talking about me, who gives a fuck? Like,
I mean, of course, if she was talking about you, who gives a fuck? But at the same time, I think most people would say if she was talking about you, then maybe you're justified to be able to lash
out.
Yeah, if you want to. Like,
but I was.
I'm always of the opinion, as you know, that it's only going to make things worse. Yeah, that is generally my sort of
that
like
little victory you earn in the moment. Yeah. That little rush of blood.
Suddenly you're in line. Now you have to talk to this person.
It is. It's true. It's a bit like you know what you know. It's that kind of you have that moment of impulse.
Yeah.
You know, it's the guilt after masturbation. You're like, that felt great in the moment, but now there's just shame. shame and a bit of self-loathing going on after that. Like it felt good in the moment, but now I just want to hide.
I think that most of like response like that, I've been trying to do it a lot recently where just noticing when you get like a little frustrated at somebody, like just walking down the street or whatever, where they do something or, you know, something happens and you have that moment of like, and then just like trying to recognize it and immediately let it go, like not hold on to it at all, like not go, I'm going to walk faster behind this person or I'm going to be pissed off because they didn't move out of the way or I'm going to
tap my foot while they're making my coffee.
Slow. None of that.
Yeah.
None of that. Just literally acknowledge it straight away. I am angry at this person. This is ridiculous. Like, because it's human to react like that. Like when you have that initial moment of the thing, the inciting incident happens, like, and you react, like we all do that. I think that's a fine thing. I've been trying to do a little bit of like noticing that reaction and then just noticing how ridiculous that reaction is and then just not holding on to it to the, because I feel like that reaction isn't a problem. That's probably part of, we need to be aware of the world and how to react to the world. And if someone's in our space and all these sort of things are natural things for us to need to, but it's that thing where you go, and I'm going to stomp down the hall and be like the bit where you become ridiculous as part of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stop myself being the person who becomes ridiculous.
Well, I mean, cause I thought a lot about it. And if I break it down on the macro level, the thing that I was taking offense at, I was guilty of the same thing because did you hear the way I described that woman before I got to the insult?
Yes.
Is I made a judgment on her when I walked past because she was wearing this designer gear. Her hair was perfect. So in my head, I'd created this entire narrative of who this woman was.
Oh, yeah. Beetlejuice came out pretty quick.
Yeah. Like she was this burly heads, you know, upper middle class, you know, Chardonnays with the girls on a Wednesday. Like I'd created this whole narrative that she had
profiled
her. And so, in essence, I was doing exactly the same thing that that yeah, I was I do accusing
think,
her of
I
doing.
Do think we are all profiling people constantly. You yeah. like, I mean, that's again, that's
but negatively. But I'm always negatively profiling because I'm assuming the world's a bad place.
But the world is a bad place, and evolution has told us that we have to be defensive about things. That's why we can't trust always our first instincts. Like our brain is always looking out for the dangers that are around us. That's why we're more responsive to negativity than we are to positivity, is because there is an evolutionary bias towards protecting ourselves from things that will hurt us or kill us rather than things that are positive. And so I think in that situation, I don't think there's any problem with you doing the profile, although it'd be lovely if you didn't, like if you didn't feel like you immediately have to judge people. But it's the, you didn't walk by her and go, hey, Beetlejuice. Well, actually, as it turns out, you did. Yeah. But you didn't think you were doing that.
I didn't initiate. You didn't think you were starting it.
It turns out you kind of were because she wasn't talking about you.
So that is true, really.
You started
from
a
her
side
perspective,
thing.
I
yeah,
did.
You did start it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But what does your therapist say? It's respond, don't react.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of, that is the challenge, especially as a parent. That's the hardest thing for me to learn at the moment, is you are dealing with like a very irrational, you know, personality and behavior. And it's so, it's not constructive at all for you to react in those situations, because you can't rationalize with a child. You know, you can't explain to them why, you know, they need to get dressed or they need to be quiet or, you know, what their behavior is inappropriate, because they just don't get it in the moment. They don't have the capacity or the experience or any of that kind of stuff. And so a lot of parenting is really about, especially now, it's compassionate parenting, is, you know, letting them know that you understand that they're having big emotions and that you are going to be there for those big emotions, but you aren't, but how to redirect that energy or understand that energy is better directed in a certain way. But it's fucking hard. It's really, really hard when you have triggers, you know, from however many years of your own life experiences and your own paranoias and your own lack of self-esteem. When a child that you know doesn't mean what it's saying says something to you, it's no different to Beetlejuice saying that thing as well. Like, you just have this kind of hypodermic response. It's like insult, react, or attack, defend, you know? It's this kind of, for me, the hard thing is to just not take it personally or not get emotional about these things. I want to be like, I want to have no feelings. I want to be a robot. I want to just be able to go, there are certain things in my, like my mum, for instance. I think the greatest thing that my mother taught me towards the end of her life is that, because I used to think it used to frustrate me that she was non-confrontational. You know, she'd get fucked over by a mechanic or, you know, someone, you know, treated her badly, a neighbor or whatever. And I always used to be like, Mum, you can't just let them charge you that much for this, or you can't let them get away with that. Like, you've got to stand up for yourself. What I realized is that in the totality of her life and the things that she'd been through, she had arrived at a point where she was like, I know that this is worth my time and I know that that's not worth my time. A neighbor encroaching on, you know, my boundary, yeah, sure, I could kick up a fuss and blah, 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 but oh, I could just fucking read a book and let him have an extra 2 meters of a backyard. And I think that, like, I want
to
get...
And the 2 meters of the backyard is better than the piece that I wouldn't get to read my book if I was in a war with my neighbour that
yeah,
I've now
for the
started
next 6 months.
For these two...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I want to somehow arrive at that point before I'm facing death. You know, like, uh-huh. I want to, like, try and get to that point where it's like, I understand that this, it's an injustice. There is some kind of unfairness happening here. But how do you evaluate those situations faster and get to a point of release faster? I mean, I'm sure there would be people who meditate or Zen Buddhist or whatever who say, oh, you know, you can get to that just through study and practice. But I want to be that without being a fucking nerd.
Yeah, okay. All right. You just want the cheat code.
What's the cheat
How
code?
How can I immediately get to that?
Well, this is the other thing. Yeah. Is like,
you got to do some toad medicine or something. Well, that's why you around the Northern Rivers, you'll be able to find some shaman who'll let you lick a toad and you'll get all this revelation done in an afternoon.
Oh, that's what I want. I just want the cheat codes. You know, we've talked about this before, that I get frustrated that I'm not immediately good at something at the first go.
Yeah.
I had a surf lesson a couple of weeks ago, my first surf lesson, and Like, I was okay at it, but I was like, oh, like for me to get good at this, I'm going to have to practice heaps.
You're never going to get good at it. Like the surfing, like you're going to have, if you, it might be the perfect thing for you. Because the lesson of surfing is, and I know this from friends of mine who are, like, if you've surfed your whole life, you're not necessarily a good surfer. Like, it's one of those things that you're bad at a lot more than you're like ever going to be good at. Yeah. So if you're going to continue to surf, you're going to have to become comfortable with the idea that you're not going to be able to master.
Well, and I think this is the point, right? Because the process of me like having this lesson and then going out and just getting smashed by waves and falling over and, you know, feeling like I'm don't know what the fuck I'm doing. That's the point of it. Because in that 2 hours, I wasn't really thinking about anything else. Like, you know, like that idea of being in the moment and mindful and mind body connection and stuff. It's a very like, it's tiring and it's strenuous and there's a lot of shit going on and there's currents and waves and other surfers out there and me trying to sort of like, oh fuck. Like, and losing that kind of self-consciousness of I look like a dork, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. But I think, you know, that's part of it, right? Is like, if you want to stop just reacting to things, then you get out of your head, you stop like analyzing or looking for the injustices or taking offense at everything. You get into a practice of like, well, no, it's just like, just respond to what's in the moment as opposed to what do they mean by that? What's actually going on here? You know, like if maybe I'm not going to meditate, then maybe I need to just get involved in some kind
of. You're a mid-40s guy. You've got to learn how to surf. This is your version of your shortcut to meditation.
Well, because like I do meditate.
Yeah.
But I've fallen way off. Like I used to meditate every day, but now it's just since I've become a dad, I just find it harder. And also,
how often do you just think? Like I don't mean anxiety think. I don't mean like panic about overthink. I mean just genuinely. Do you ever
just go for a walk?
Go for a walk and just like let your brain sort of not worry about things, but just think about the world or think about what's around you.
Yeah, I do. Generally, I will do a couple of walks a week. Like I like go for like a 1 hour walk where I won't listen to anything or, you know, take my phone or anything like that. But it's hard because I'm always like, there's a part of me that's like, you are neglecting something that needs your attention right now. Like you don't have time for this. Like, you know, it's that anxiety of you need to be working. You don't have time to be going for a nice.
Don't have time to be thinking. Letting your brain rest.
Yeah.
Or reorganize itself.
I definitely find like I haven't been in therapy for a while now, and I'm like, I need something. Like I feel like I need an outlet for the.
I think surfing might be good for you. I feel like, you know, you live in the right area. Like there's plenty of people who will teach you how to do it. You've got the right fitness level. It's not too late. Mm. It is one of those things that you can pick up. Like. You know, because it isn't about, like, you don't have to reach a level of, like, being really great at it to enjoy it. Like, you can just enjoy the process, right?
Well, that's,
so, like, and I think in, like, a more broad sense of this idea of, like, throwing yourself into something that you're not going to be able to master, that's got, like, broader, plus you're just in the ocean. It's nice to, like.
Well, you were talking about last time we recorded, like going for a swim in the morning and just having this sort of like centering kind of like, I'm just going to get out in the water, just go for a walk.
Mate, we bloody came out of the ocean and it's the biggest mistake we've ever made. We should have bloody stayed in there.
Well, I had a very, like.
I think, by the way, if we keep going with the fossil fuel program we have, that will happen.
Alice Springs will be a beautiful waterfront property. It's funny. Like it was a very point break. The instructor I was given.
Yeah.
I mean, I did sort of feel like a bit of like.
By the way, you know the amount of times we talk about things like Point Break on this podcast, and you always fool yourself into thinking, oh, everyone like you know talks about Point Break all the time. And then when I was like in the early run of my show, there was like one night where I had like a reference to It's Death on a Stick out there, and like literally no one in the audience laughed.
Well, we had a very similar experience, Will, because. My instructor, and I did have a sense of patriotic shame because I'm Australian and he was Swedish.
Okay.
I had a Swedish guy teaching me how to surf. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Do they even have surf in Sweden?
I assume he learned to surf not in Sweden, right?
In Bali.
Yeah.
And he only picked it up 8 years ago and now he's an instructor, but he's also much younger than me. But he was very Bodhi-esque, blonde hair, beard and stuff. And As the lesson was progressing, a huge storm rolled in. It started raining and the waves kicked up. And so he said, because we get the current kept taking us down the beach. He said, let's just get out. We'll walk back to the break and then we'll go back in. And I said to him, we can't go out there, mate. It's death on a stick. And he just stared at me. And I'm like, not only does like his English not his first language, but that is a close to 40-year-old reference. And he's like, death on a stick? Death on a stick? And I was like, have you seen Point Break? And he was like, oh, yeah, that one with the Patrick Swayze. And I'm like, yeah. I said, the last scene, it's in Australia. He's like, is it in Australia? I thought, is it California? And I'm like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, it turns out a tent full of Australians don't think it's funny either.
Maybe that is like, I know Dave Anthony surfs and I was so surprised by that because like he doesn't look like a surfer.
He's not Moshe Kasha was recently on my podcast. He was talking about being a surfer. I think there's quite a lot of comedy surfers.
Yeah.
I think also it's just a middle-aged man thing to do. Some people, like you said, especially play golf. Area.
Yeah.
And like some people start I'm just take a
little,
up surfing.
I'm a little scared of like the
local surf locals.
Yes. Yeah. That would be a waste of time. Yeah, I'm scared Anthony Kiedis is going to try and beat me up in the showers. No, but there is like, I mean, they are. It's very, it's locals that's dominate the breaks. And especially in Byron, like there's been an uptick in violence apparently on these surf breaks. And if, you know, we go back to the Byron Bay Community Board, apart from catfishing, the other most common complaint is some surfers saying beginners get fucked, stop dropping in on us and all this kind of shit.
Yeah.
But this instructor was saying to me, look, you are nowhere near going to these, you know, going to the pass or whatever. Like you just need to find some white water and just practice getting up on the board. Then when you get to that, have another lesson, learn how to turn. And then if you can master that, then you can maybe go at the back and start trying to catch waves. But the other thing is because I'm left-handed, I'm goofy. So you've got to like, it depends on which way the waves break. Like you got your back to the wave or not. So there's a lot of things that are going to make this kind of a bit more complicated for me. But the question is not like I have to get good at this. The question is, can I find like a couple hours a week that I can just go do something that is physically involving, that gets me away from my phone, that gets me away from thinking, there's like a skill, there's a progressive skill thing. Doesn't mean I have to get super good at it, but can I just come away with that dopamine hit of, oh, like I've achieved something today.
Do you have a surfboard?
Not yet.
No.
He said it's too early.
Yeah. When do you, like, what part of this process, like how many lessons, how many times do you surf? Like, what do you do to surf in the meantime? Like, do you go with an instructor?
No. He said so he's taught me how to get up on the board. So I know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So he's like, go just hire a soft top, which is like the big ones that you can ride small waves with.
Yeah.
He said, you just need to practice getting up. Once you can do that, then book in for another lesson and we'll teach you how to turn.
So get it up and then jack it off.
Yeah, exactly. And then once you can learn how to turn, then you can practice going out the back. I mean, to be honest, like I'm not even thinking about
going out the back.
That actually terrifies me. The idea of I get a little scared in the ocean. Yeah. I'm an okay swimmer, but drowning does not appeal to me at all.
Really?
No,
not at all.
No, does it appeal to you?
Yeah.
Are you a good swimmer?
I am.
Your hips, like, is that help? Or I mean, not does it help, but
it helps. Having really bad hips helps swimming.
So weird.
Often with Olympic athletes, they will break their hips.
And then does the water help your hips? Does not your hips help the water?
Does the absence of weight on my joints help my hips? What do you reckon? Yes, of course it does.
And so, but can you kick like normally?
I mean, I can't swim as well as I used to be able to swim. I was quite a good swimmer.
Right.
Like I swam competitively when I was sort of more like end of junior school, start of senior school, not like,
because you were long.
I was long, but I just like loved the beach, always liked the water. So, I these days would not have the capacity to swim the great distances, but I feel confident in the water. Yeah. Like I don't, but you know.
Worry about getting eaten?
by a shark or something.
Well, anything. That's the thing that always fucks with my head is like, I can't see what's underneath me. If I'm out of my depth, I'm always like, there's something underneath me that may want to bite me.
I mean.
Or wrap its tentacle around me.
Sure, but it's unlikely.
I know it's unlikely. It's just maybe it's from seeing Jaws at too early an age, but it's just the sense of. I also think it's the indignity of being eaten by something. Like, got to be.
Do you think that is
the worst thing that could happen, to get eaten?
I think I'd be fine with being eaten by something. I mean, not by everything, but by like a shark or a lion or a tiger or something, I'd be fine with it.
I think something is just going to chew you up, masticate you, and then shit you out.
Yeah.
There's nothing more undignified.
Will die. You know, he was eaten by a lion.
And now he's a pile of shit in the Sahara.
People rarely go to the pile of shit. They're normally happy with the whole he was eaten by a lion part of this anecdote without having to kind of follow it through.
I think it's the end. I think it's the last stage of the process that I find so undignified. It's like
being shit out.
Another
is that
being
what you're saying?
Is going to excrete me, is going to push me out of its lower intestine. It's like that is.
But that's what happens to everybody in a sense. Like we go back into the earth and then we are made into things. Like we're eaten or created or like whatever it might be. So
I guess so. And I ate meat, so I'm a hypocrite.
The worms eat you, right? Like if you're buried in the old days, you're eaten by the worms.
But it's going from being like a walking, talking, sentient being to being.
Straight to being
feces.
Eaten. It's the nothing in between. It's like through the lion into the. Like, okay, so if you were going to be eaten. What would you prefer to be eaten by then? Like
what? Any animal?
Any animal.
One that's going to go for the kill first. Like apparently bears don't go for the kill first. They'll eat from the feet up, which sounds like that would be a horrendous way to go. Some
is
bears.
Is that right?
Amy, can you...
real totem...
Amy's wrinkled brow is telling me that it sounds like bullshit.
A totem nose dining experience, Joe Rogan style. Don't waste a bit of the humans.
Just Google, do bears eat from the feet?
Do bears eat from feet first?
Maybe I got it from Rogan. It sounds like bullshit now I'm saying it. It sounds like anti-bear propaganda.
It's like, they'll keep you alive while they're eating you.
Dehumanize bears, but we need to de-bearize bears. What species do bears belong to? They're not. What would it be?
Aren't they bears? Aren't bears
a category?
Bears? A category?
Yeah,
bears are bears. Okay,
because then there's different variety of bear: the grizzly bear or the brown bear or the black bear. Or
I'm
whatever.
Pretty sure bears are like. I don't want to say cruel because I don't think they have that intention. But they're fucked up in the way they'll eat. They'll like polar bears will slap around a seal and shit. Like they don't just. Like, I think, like, lions, they'll go for a kill shot, like, bite their neck and then eat. But I think bears like to kind of...
Bears like to play with their food. Is that what you're saying?
They like to torture you. They'll sit you down and they'll emotionally blackmail you and just, like, take you through everything you're self-conscious about before they eat you.
You just wake up one day and, like, the bears got you in those traps from Saw.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we know about bears, Amy?
Look, I'm trying to look into this. Seems
bears
like it's
eat
maybe
from the feet up. It does
an
made
urban
up.
Legend.
Just a dumb thing that Charlie's heard.
I'm not sure why they would eat from the feet up, given it's just bones in the feet, that they would probably go for like your organs or meaty parts of your body first.
Well, maybe no. They'd go
or
for
you
if
save
they were killing,
the best
if they were
last.
Killing you to eat you.
Yeah.
But I don't think bears really eat people
humans?
Very much.
Have you not seen Grizzly Man?
Oh, I've seen Grizzly Man. I've seen Grizzly Man a couple of times.
That bear definitely ate someone. And there was that case in Russia too where the girl called her mum because she was getting eaten by a bear.
Yeah,
remember
but they don't like they don't like hunt.
But in
humans.
General,
it's like
you don't have to worry about
a
bears,
and you.
Bears are eating you.
Well, I think if you lived in Canada or something, you do. Don't like bears attack people in Canada all the time?
Yeah, but to eat them or to just kill them?
But they don't always, I've watched Alone and the bears will come up to the people's tents and stuff and sniff them, but they don't immediately then just go like, all right, it's dinner time.
I'm not sure about
that. I know
that. I
what you do not want is a delicious picnic basket because bears will be.
All right, okay.
Rule number
what about
one.
Crocodiles? Crocodiles love to eat a human, right?
Okay.
Let's bring it back to Aussie.
Yeah, let's keep it Australian, mate.
We know.
What Australian animal
loves
would
to eat
you like to eat?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think crocodile would be the worst because they do the death roll.
Oh. But isn't the death roll good? Because
I guess
you're
it's
dead,
better than
right? This is what you're talking
drowned.
About, which is the quick death and then being eaten. So that's the death roll. They're coming, they're taking you down, kill you straight away.
Yeah,
then,
maybe that's better. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be terrifying though, because you've got more conscious. Like, I feel like with the shark, like they'll chomp you quick and blood loss, you'll be out. Yep. But I think like a death roll, you're going to have a good, what, minute to a minute and a half to just contemplate the fact that you're drowning and then some crocodile is going to stick you in its larder and then eat you later. They have larders, crocodiles. I know that. That's a fact.
When you say larder,
not like it's not like a cupboard with doors.
Yeah, I mean they don't have other ingredients, do they?
You got Vegemite, iced Vovos,
some butter back there, some olive oils.
No, but they like to store their kills. They'll shove like a body into, like you know, under a log or something like that.
Yeah, but shoving a body under a log does not a larder make, in my opinion.
That's what they call it, though.
Well, who? The crocodiles?
Amy, look up crocodile larder. It's definitely
I've looked it up. I'm here on the wiki page for larder, and there's a sub-category called animal larders.
Oh, there you go.
Using crocodiles, larders are underwater storage places for their fresh kills.
There you go. Fresh kills.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So crocodile, I think, would be pretty bad. Shark, I think, would be the worst because you're feeling... They're just chomping, like they're going to start at whatever they can get onto first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're going to go leg, yeah, that's right.
I remember that poor guy who got taken off, I think it was off Coogee or Clovelly a couple of years ago. I saw the video of that and that was like, I wish I'd never opened that link. That was horrendous to watch. And that seemed like he seemed to be aware of what was going on for a good first 30 seconds of that.
Yeah, okay.
That's, so whatever
that,
it
that
is.
That doesn't sound fun.
Like, I guess if you know it's coming, I would just stick my head towards its mouth.
Oh.
Just kill my brain.
You go straight.
Yeah. it's over.
Head first. Yeah, you immediately go, well, this is over. I'm like, they're going for your arm. And you're like, no,
mate. This is where you want to go. Tasty brain. Sweet, tasty brain. Crack what's inside this. Because that's the thing, okay. Right? Like, you just don't want to suffer. You don't want to suffer or experience. Like, just say there's no heaven.
Okay. It's easy if you try. So
this is the last thing that you're going to take, like this is the last thing you're going to remember as your life is flashing before your eyes and you're remembering all the wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And then you look down and there's just some dead-eyed great white.
But hang on, like in this scenario, all the best things in your life are flashing before your eyes, but you're also just at the end reminded that you're also just being chomped on?
Yeah, like you might sort of drift off to like, oh, you know, when I met my partner and they were kissing my belly and then you open your eyes and it's actually a shark. Like, mom, mom, mom.
Do you think that's how it works?
Yeah, I don't know. Because so everyone who dies who goes to that experience, we can't evaluate.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess the other thing would be not necessarily being eaten alive, but being swallowed. Like apparently hippos are quite notorious for killing people. I believe hippos can swallow humans whole.
Whole.
So being digested alive.
How?
It's like going to the
Salak
pit.
How long can you survive inside a hippo?
Amy.
I mean, that seems like.
Amy's fingers are working overtime.
Like, that seems like a good question though. Like how long can you survive alive inside a hippo would be. Because it can't be long, surely. Like, surely in the process
well, what
of
is
being
it? So acid
swallowed by a hippo.
Suffocation.
You'd
first,
imagine,
right?
Yes. You've got to, like, air would be the problem.
Are you claustrophobic?
First. Well, I mean, I imagine if I was being swallowed by a hippo, yes. Like, I think I'm have, like, a pretty normal
level of
claustrophobia in that, like, once it becomes a real thing, yes. Like, it's not like I'm
not,
impervious
not in elevators
to it.
Or anything
but no,
like that.
No. But in the hippo, I reckon, yes.
Yeah.
Apparently I reckon they can swallow people whole. I've just opened an article from 10 years ago, Experience, I Was Swallowed by a Hippo, which opens with the fantastic line.
This is the Guardian's
the hippo who tried
column.
The hippo
the
who
hippo.
Tried to kill me. The hippo who tried to kill me wasn't a stranger. He and I had met before a number of times.
Oh,
it's always the people you know that kill
you're
you.
You're going to say that in the Liam Neeson voice. It wasn't the first time. This hippo we had met
but
once
this
before.
Is somebody. This is somebody who's lived to tell the story, obviously. They've been swallowed alive by a hippo and then made it back out again.
Yeah, well, how did
avoided Charlie's certain fate of going head first into this scenario.
Did it say how they survived?
I'm just having a look now.
Okay. Just, we'll keep talking.
Yes, we'll keep talking.
Spat him out, it seems.
Okay.
All right, well, that's okay.
So it seems like it can happen, but I don't think it would be very good experience for anyone involved, the hippo or the person.
And I would have thought hippos
they would need to chew their food. I don't think, and they're herbivores as well.
They are herbivores. So what are they doing eating humans?
They're just really aggressive. They kill more people than like sharks.
I've heard that. Yeah,
and
they're
swallowing them whole. They're not like even eating them. Are
I've seen. Have you seen? There's a video of like a guy feeding a hippo, and he's showing. He's throwing like giant watermelons in. And the hippo's just like pom 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 pom, like they're Skittles. Yeah. So I imagine a human head is like nothing. For a hippo's powerful jaws.
Yeah.
They're so adorable looking though. The fact that they're so brutal, like it doesn't gel.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that there's a children's game that makes them seem so fun, whereas it should actually be called murdery hippos.
So hungry, hungry hippos, rather than little plastic balls, should just be human heads.
Humans. just like just killing, stomping.
Whole humans.
Whole humans.
An adult only hungry, hungry hippo. Murder hippos. a segment that I introduced last time we got together was random clobservations.
Okay.
And I've had some new ones. Would you like to, because we could have a sting, I wonder if we've got a clever listener out there who could come up with a sting for random clobservations.
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay. So I was hanging out with our friends Lou and Scott.
Yes.
Scott is from Scotland. And Lou was telling us about a situation, this person who had, you know, behaved badly and, you know, was then paying the price. And Lou was saying like, yeah, you know, that's the consequence. And Scott responded with, yeah, cunts are cunts. And I was like, no, she said consequence. But then I was like, it actually works for both, right? When someone's behaved badly, yeah, cunts are cunts and consequence.
No, I don't know. If we're assessing your clobservations,
all right,
I feel like that one's not your best one.
Okay. All right. My next clobservation.
Feels like that was a you had to be there.
Totally.
Operation. You know what I mean?
If I could do a better Scottish accent, eh? Cunts are cunts. Consequence. Consequence. Cunts are cunts.
I mean, I understand the premise.
Moving on. Okay. Chuggers, charity fundraisers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Would charity fundraisers have a higher success rate if they negged instead of opening with a, hey, cool hat?
Interesting.
Because you know how they always open with like a random bit of connection? Like, your shopping.
If instead it was like, hey, what's going on, Beetlejuice?
Yeah. Or just some kind of like dismissive thing. Like, because it's that I always find that superficial icebreaker.
Too much.
It puts me off.
Yeah. So you're thinking go the opposite direction.
The opposite neg.
Maybe hide their iPad as you go by. And you're like, why are they hiding that?
Well, if they didn't say anything.
What do I want to
know
about?
If you're about to walk into the supermarket and you see they've got the little table set up with the whatever charity it is, and they just don't.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you be like, oh, what's wrong with me? Like, maybe I'll walk, when I exit the shop, I'll walk a bit slower and see, and they still don't do it.
And nothing again.
You're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
What's going on?
We don't need your chump change.
Yeah. You look like you couldn't.
You're not a high roller.
Do you think they should try that, a bit of negging?
I'm sure they've tried negging. Are you suggesting that they've, I mean, I'm sure they've tried that.
As in how? But they wouldn't, like, as in?
Well, as in not doing anything, because it's uncomfortable.
Or backhanded
it's uncomfortable
compliment.
To go and, like, ask someone directly. So they would have tried everything that's possible, and they've eventually settled on this idea that,
nice
like,
hat. I had the same one a few years ago when it was in.
Oh, so you're thinking real?
Oh, that's too hard. Insult comic,
like,
well, it's
getting
a fine line, isn't it?
Getting a whole bunch of insult comics.
Well, what
young
are some
young insult comedians?
Well, not insult comedians. What are some classic neg lines? Yeah. Isn't it something along the lines of I think the classic neg lines are along.
Oh,
the lines
you mean
of,
from like the game?
Yeah,
or
the
whatever.
Game. It's like you comment on their clothes or something like that, but suggest it's out of fashion.
Oh,
or,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, do you think that would work?
Yeah. Hey, excuse me. Can I just talk to you for a second? I've just got a phone call here from the 80s. They want their outfit back.
Yeah, you know, that's too hard.
That's too much. Okay.
Right. Amy, can you just look up some from the game? Like, what are some classic negging opening lines that you would give
negging,
to someone?
Yeah, that's good. All right.
And then we'll see.
Negging and see if we can use it in a charity
fundraising situation.
Okay.
Interesting. Next clobservation. Is a bit of shame okay? A little bit of shaming.
Well, this
okay.
is your Catholic.
I'll just give you an example. Okay. So like Gemma wasn't trying to shame me, but she said one day that she'd been hearing me like going to the pantry late at night, like making a little snack.
Rustling around late at night,
and making my little midnight snacks. And that was all. She was just making a gemservation.
She said, can you pass this one on? Can you put this on your podcast? I don't have my own one, but I've got a little observation.
A random gemservation.
Yeah.
But it was enough to make me go like, because I think, you know, I was having my sneaky little midnight snacks.
Yes.
But I felt fine with it because it was my dirty little secret. Like no one.
I think you liked it a little.
It was naughty. It's my dirty little secret. But like then
nobody knows that I'm doing this.
But that little bit of like I've been sprung, or like you know,
took the thrill away.
We know exactly what's going on. We know what those screwed up Kleenex on the bottom of your bedroom floor are.
If she said, you know what, you can actually bring that snack to bed if you want. You're like, oh, I don't want to do it.
No,
it's
not dirty anymore. Yeah. So do you think a little bit of shame is okay? Just a little bit. Like it wasn't like she was trying to.
So what do you mean in regard? Like that she.
Well. It was enough to sort of make me clean up my act a little bit.
But why? What is your life better now that like your act has been cleaned up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't want to eat just before you go to bed. It's not good for you. It's not good for your body.
I mean, if it was making you happy.
Yeah, but I was doing it every night.
Yeah. Okay.
So a little bit of shame.
It was maybe too much. Just a little bit of shame. That's very Catholic. Again, this is still very Catholic of you, I think.
Okay. This is, you don't watch Bluey, but so Bluey.
I've heard of it though.
But you know that it's all anthropomorphized.
By the way, Celia Pequola.
Did you say Pequola or Pecola?
It's Pequola.
Pequola, there's a W.
Yeah.
Okay.
Celia Pequola, she, I know it sounds, but that is actually the correct way to do it. I saw her show in Adelaide during the Adelaide Fringe, and she tells a story which I won't tell. Like, I mean, I don't want to spoil for people.
And you should totally just steal the punchline.
But I do want to pose the question. So basically, if you want to see Celia's show, and I highly recommend that you do, and you don't want any of it spoiled at all, just skip this tiny little bit now that I'm going to post to Charlie, because she tells a story in it of getting and then losing one of the voices in Bluey, is one of the most incredible stories of because the story in the show is incredible because it's like she had it. She had this like a voice role in a show that's gone on to become
global phenomenon.
Yeah. It's an incredible story. I highly recommend people see it.
So in Bluey's world, it's all different anthropomorphized dogs, you know, and there are animals. There's like, you know, lizards and birds and stuff.
But are they're animals.
They're animals. Wild. But there's no pets in Bluey's world. Like none of the families have pets.
And there's no humans.
There's no humans.
Right.
Are there pets in Bluey's world that we're just not seeing? Are like Planet of the Apes style humans been enslaved?
Yeah.
Because everyone lives in a fairly like affluent lifestyle in Bluey's. Everyone's got a nice house and a nice neighborhood. The cities are clean. But that makes me wonder, is there like an underground of human slaves enabling the society to exist? Is Bluey set in the future? Planet of the Apes style, this dystopian future where dogs have risen to a level of sentience.
I mean, it'd be great if there's like a Bluey, because they always have themed episodes. I've seen the cricket one now, so I know, like, at least I have a sense of what Bluey is. So they've got these themed episodes. Is there a chance they could do like a Running Man Hunger Games style like episode of Bluey?
Have you ever, and this is my last observation, have you ever eaten from a box of chocolates without knowing what you're going to get?
Life is like a box of chocolates. You'll never know what you're going to get. Have I ever eaten from a box of chocolates?
Don't you select the chocolate based on what you're going to get?
No. I'm going to say
Forrest was right.
I don't think Forrest was right. I think because like to imply that life is like a box of chocolates, you'll never know what you're going to get is absolutely ridiculous. Because a lot of the time, you know exactly what you're going to get. There's a little thing on the inside cover that tells you what they are, or maybe it's one of those ones where there's literally the brand of whatever the chocolate is on the wrapping that you're going to get. But do I like a lucky dip of just going, oh, here's a chocolate. I don't know what sort of chocolate this is. Yeah, no, I think like I like both. So
if you went to like an artisan chocolatier, what do you call a fancy chocolate joint? A chocolatier.
Yeah, chocolatier.
Chocolatier.
That's the person who makes chocolate.
The chocolatiers? Yeah. The three chocolatiers.
And so they'll give you one of those things. Like, you probably don't know what you're going to get then.
No.
Or, but then you may be selecting the chocolates.
Yeah.
My point being, you don't, you never know what you, you don't,
you don't never know.
You don't never know.
You don't never know.
You don't never know what you're going to get. Yeah, you do know what you're going to get.
This is some good topical Forrest Gump material. This is good Globservation. I went to the Hague's chocolate shop so many times when I was in Adelaide that the people there started to really recognize me in a way that made me feel uncomfortable. Do you think that in chocolate shops they should have like the discretion of, like, more like an adult, you know, like I am, imagine if you go to an adult shop, they're not like, oh, you're buying a big dildo. You know what I mean? Like, they're a bit more discreet about.
Oh, so they're doing that with, so they're commenting on your purchase.
Yeah. And or that, oh, you're back again or whatever. And I'm I don't want to, like, you're back again.
Yeah. No, they've got to be more like a shop, gotta be because, more like a sex shop.
And the other thing is, they didn't know that, like, because they were making me feel like I was going to the chocolate shop too often. Which I don't think is good for their business. But also, they didn't know that there's another Hague's down the other end of the mall, and I was going to that as well.
Oh, my God.
So,
you're like one of those people who gets, like, Sudafed from one pharmacy and it goes to another pharmacy.
I was chocolate shopping around the Hague's of town.
Or is it more like you're like Norm from Cheers, where you walk in and they're like, well.
I mean, it was like that, though. Too much like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's more your own self-consciousness. Yeah. I think they're just being friendly, because you could.
Yeah, they don't see any shame in it. No. They don't see shame in going to the chocolate shop every day for my specialist chocolate.
No, and it's also like, I think the way you are presenting is, it's not like you look like you've got other stuff going on. I mean, they know you've got it. They've seen you on TV and stuff. Yeah. It's not like this is all you've got. This is the one glimmer of hope.
But that makes me feel worse about it. It's like,
it is the one glimmer of hope in your life.
Every day going in to try a new chocolate.
I mean, it's awesome being like a famous comedian and celebrity, but really this is the only thing that brings me happiness.
Also, you can try any chocolate you want.
I didn't think about it like that. Really, like, I mean, but so does that make, so you just want to be more anonymous in that situation, don't you? Because, yeah, you don't need any more, you don't need to think about what's going on.
I don't want people to know how much chocolate I eat.
Oh, my God.
And the fact that, like, literally I go in every day and I'm like, I'm going to try a new one.
So I, you know, last time we got together, I was telling you, like, I had these kidney issues, which have not cleared up after 6 weeks of laying off all, like, you know, supplements and stuff. We did some more blood tests and it's like, no, nothing's changed. So now I have to go see a specialist.
Okay.
And look, I don't know what the specialist is, but I have this fear that the specialist is going to say, you know what the problem is? You eat too many donuts, or like you eat too much. They're going to say to me that I have to cut out something I really like.
But I can't think that you do anything that is unhealthy enough that you do it enough that it would be damaging your health.
Well, my GP said, the issue is the results you're bringing back are results we would see for someone who was like obese or had health issues or whatever. So that's the kind of concerning.
So that's why it's concerning, because you're not those things.
I'm not those things, yet you're still returning these results.
Yeah.
So, because I was saying to her.
So your worry is that they're like, I'm sorry, Mr. Clausen, but we've actually discovered that you have a disease where every donut is 100 times more deadly to you than it is to anybody else. We're actually going to call it Clausen's disease. We're going to name it after you.
Well, because she looked at my blood work over the last 10 years and it. Like, it first occurred, you know, in 2016 when I was taking a lot of supplements. And so it made sense because, you know, had this unregulated shit in my blood. And so then I cleaned up my diet. And then the 2019 did another test that was clean bill of health. Everything's perfect. But now it's come back again. But I can't think of how my lifestyle has changed significantly since 2019, apart from having a kid. But I don't think stress relates to the production of this enzyme. But the whole time I have maintained a healthy love of baked goods.
I know, but you were loving baked goods in 2019 when everything was fine too. Like, it's not like.
Well, the only difference in 2019 was that, sort of 2018 into 2019 is that's when Jem was pregnant.
Yeah.
And we went on a real health kick of no booze, no sugar, because we're going to do IVF and we wanted to make sure we had the highest chance of that. So there is a chance when I had the really good rating that I was maybe ruling out a lot of shit. But it's not like I don't even really drink that much anymore. No. Like, I don't, I mean, and look, to be honest, if they say you can't drink anymore, that That to me is a win. I don't care about not drinking. It's a sugar. Like I just had the best day yesterday when I arrived and I had some time to kill. I went to watch a bit of footy, got myself a donut, a cup of coffee, got home, went and had some dinner. I'll just grab a little ice cream. And like it honestly made me so happy having those little
yes.
like sugar hits. And it's like if they tell me that it's sugar that I have to cut out, then I'm going to be devastated. I'd rather find out that I have some kind of genetic malfunction.
I honestly like took a screenshot of an advertisement for a Gelato Messina Milo Easter egg.
Bischoff chocolate.
It was like the most, I was like a Milo Easter egg gelato. I'm like, I literally was like, I'm planning when I can have this thing. Like I've been thinking about it for days.
I mean, it's funny. Like I only had a home day last week and I wanted to keep her off the iPad. So I was like, she loves cooking. So I've been teaching her how to, you know, do some basic cooking. And I said, let's make a cake. And like to see a child's interaction with sugar, you're like, this is a drug. Like that was all she cared about. Like the process of like, you know, putting the batter together and the icing and stuff. Like just as soon as the icing sugar came out, she was like, it was just 100%. Let's get on the bags of icing sugar.
Dad, get some scales.
Yeah. She's like, can we do an eight ball of this? And I'm like, where'd you learn that?
Yeah, where'd you even pick up that language?
But it's like, she just was like finger yeah. And then yeah. like
she's
the
like,
eyes.
This is the good shit.
The eyes roll back in her head. And then she's like, can I lick the spoon? I'm like, oh, I don't know you can. There's raw egg in this, but all right, you can lick the spoon. And then I like actually baked the cake and iced it and stuff and put sprinkles on it. And it was already there. And I was like, now this is the fun part. We get to eat the cake. She's like, I'm just going to eat the icing.
Yeah.
I'm like the Will Anderson. Basically, I'm raising a little Will Anderson. But you can see it. Like, and now, and she's, because Gemma doesn't have a sweet tooth. And so she says to me, like, sometimes you fetishize desserts in front of Iona. And I think that you are making them feel like more important, exciting than they need to be. Like, she's not against Iona having desserts or whatever, but it's more the way I will sit and, you know, like, sit back in my chair after dinner and then, like, just wax lyrical about, you know, our possible desserts and what we could do and how great donuts are, to the point where the other day after swimming lessons, I said to her, great job today. You know, do you want to go past a bakery? We can get you a little treat. And so she was like, can we get a donut? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so she put it like a little old man, put her hands behind her back and just wandered the kind of like looking at all the donuts that she was going to eat. Nutella donut, brioche with jam. Like she was really taking it in. I'm like, I mean, you're either cut from the same cloth as your father or I've done a terrible job in like the way I've presented desserts to you and what they should mean. Because as a kid, I know for me, it was very much a rewards thing. We didn't have a lot of treats in the house. Big family too. You just can't buy sweet biscuits or whatever because they disappear. But if I'd been a good boy, mummy might give me a couple of bucks and I could run to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee or a donut or whatever it was. And to this day, if I've been a good boy, like I'm allowed to go to the shops and buy myself a little treat. And I don't know if that is a good thing or a bad thing or if it's like, you know, if you restrict access to lollies, do you then make it like, you know, taboo and then they just want to...
They don't have any way of dealing with it. Like, and if they make unhealthy choices, then they don't know how to balance them with... I mean, because you're a generally healthy person. In the messages you would be like sending to your child, she's seeing you be active and like exercise, go to the gym, go surfing, do all these sort of things, right?
Yeah.
And occasionally treat yourself with a donut. It's not like you're sitting around all day long just eating donuts. So I think that is balanced. That feels balanced to me.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, let's just get to one mail. Well, next episode we'll do a big mail.
Okay, let's do a mailbag next episode.
Did you want a quick example of negging
before
we finish?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Forgot about that.
I saw this one, which I was like, oof. Well, don't you look fabulous? I would never have the courage to wear my hair like that.
Oh, that's great. That's perfect for your scenario.
Yeah,
that's like, oh, don't you look fabulous?
Yeah.
I'd never have the courage to wear my hair like that.
That's
what you should have said in that airport.
All right.
That would have been your perfect midpoint of like not lashing
not
out,
going
not
too
going
hard.
The full Beetlejuice. You should have just gone, oh, my God, that I'd never have the bravery to wear that outfit out in public.
But I think that's a good chugger opening line.
Yeah.
because it makes you...
Yeah, you're brave.
It's a bit of a thinker too, because I think my ordinarily when I'm passing those people by, I'm always like, I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry or whatever, blah, 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 you know, the way you dismiss it. But if they said that, I would be like, ah, and I would like, go in and then...
What if they went, that's a nice hoodie. You're brave to wear Asian fashion when you're in middle-aged right now.
Well, that's two. No, that's two on the nose.
That's too much. Yeah, too close.
Just dial it back a bit. Yeah. It's a thinker. It's like, because it sounds like a compliment.
Okay.
But then you're like, oh, hang on, wait a minute. What do you mean? Do I look goofy? Do I look weird? And then you need
I admire then you have to, your courage to wear something like that at your age.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, perfect. Because then I'm going to be walking around the aisles doing my shopping, but I'm like, I need to go back and get some clarity. Mm. And then they got me.
What do you mean by
and
that?
Now they're like, do you want to support the local surf life saving club? I'm like, okay, I guess so.
Yeah.
For some reason, I can't log on to the Wi-Fi. Maybe listener has blocked us out. So why don't we just wrap up the episode there?
Okay.
Will, you got shows?
I do. Will Legitimate, touring all over Australia, comedy.com.au.
I should also, we always talk about Everyone Relax. It's all in the one feed. I assume if you're here now, you found us in the Everyone Relax feed. But we should also let people know we have a Patreon as well.
Yes, actually, very importantly at the moment because we are a little low in the
finances, a lot on coin.
The old world of podcasting, not quite the there's gold in them, the hills of podcasting.
Right. We open our little purse and a moth will fly out. We have to start paying FosTike for stuff.
So we need to feed that moth. Yeah. And so if you could go to our Patreon page, there is heaps of incredible bonus content there. There's
and
some
also
really great stuff.
Ad-free episodes, yes. Because I know that's the big bugbear. I mean, if we had ads.
Yes. I mean, well, that's right. We currently in our main feed have a lot of ad-free episodes as well, which kind of is
part of the problem. You're right. It's no incentive at all. What am I talking about?
It's hurting us on both ends. We don't have ads in our episodes, so we're making no money. But also, driving people to Patreon for the ad-free episodes doesn't work. Because we're really losing on both ends of this.
But there's lots of bonus content, and
there's other stuff.
Archival.
We're putting ads in episodes on Patreon.
And we're going to start doing more bonus episodes for the Patreon soon. It's just been a bit hard with schedules. But that is the best way
to support the show. Should we try to squeeze in? I know that we've got... But maybe we try to squeeze in a little, at least bonus something
today.
Bonus for Patreon today.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, yeah. Great.
Even if it's not like a full, I know we were trying to do full episodes, but because we haven't done anything
little
for Patreon,
something.
We should at least do something, just a little something for Patreon.
All right, sounds good. That is TOEFOP for this week. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson.